and welcome to Can Queer, bringing you queer stories from across the nation. My name is Luke Smith.
I'm Wanda Cody.
I'm Sebastian.
And today we are talking about the topic of misogyny in the gay community. Certainly a hot topic and something that a lot of you wanted to give us feedback on. So we appreciate everyone who provided us with feedback over the last couple of weeks on this. And we might be quoting some of you. So if you recognize your own words or you get a call out, that's all well and good.
So you know what I'm going to say? Before we start most episodes, what's the thing that I normally do?
Introduce your name and who you are.
Well, no, I mean, okay. Me in specific. Okay. What do we mean by misogyny and what do we mean by the gay community?
So,
because this is
let's define misogyny.
Yeah, because these, not only that, but like, who are we talking about when we say the gay community? Because that's a huge,
it's a big, yeah, bubble.
He just pulled something out of his pocket. You wrote down a definition, didn't you?
No, I wrote down there's actually my grocery list. Pick up potatoes. That's clearly on my list of things to do. So how would you define misogyny?
Some people will call it women hating, but I don't think it's so much that. I think it's more kind of the way that you interface with somebody of the opposite sex, first of all. I think that the way you grow up and misogyny in the day-to-day world, I would characterize as kind of the way you were socialized to distinct between women and men.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What about you, Sebastian?
I would define misogyny as reinforcing a patriarchal structure where women are reminded of their place as being less than a man.
Oh, absolutely. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I just came up with that
actually,
on the spot.
You just came up with that. You threw me on the spot. I was like, oh, I didn't turn it. I was going to bring my dictionary thing, but yeah. More a matter of, yeah, definitely the social programming that men are the stronger species still.
Well, that's what the thinking is.
Exactly.
You know, that thinking is most likely incorrect in many, many, many elements. Absolutely. Now, you asked me to define the gay community. Now, of course, you know, we're not all card carriers of the same club. You know, we're not all exactly the same. You know, people tend to think that maybe homogenous means all of the homos, and that's not true. The gay community and the homos are not actually homogenous,
yes.
Despite popular belief. But the idea
here, basically what I'm asking, like, are we talking about like the gay bar and club scene? Are we talking about the entire LGBTQ community, including like activism?
We're going into some different elements. We're going to dip our toes in some different elements. And we're going to start off with misogyny in gay bars, because that's when I think we really get to see.
And that's actually why it makes sense for me to be on this side of the glass. Yeah. So I'm actually, we're recording, I'm currently in a different studio from Luke, and I'm sitting with Wanda as if I were a guest.
Yes.
Which actually makes sense in this case, because when Luke was looking for guests, I mentioned that, you know, I used to work in a gay bar.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually got to see the behavior of the customers with and without women in the room.
Absolutely. Just like the same environment. Uh-huh. We have a room full of women, and when male walks in, we have a definite shift in some energy, let's call it. Or
I've been in room with just women where they forget that a gay man is still a man, and they kind of treat me as one of the girls. And sometimes women turn into horrible cats.
Oh, they're very catty.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But so that's not what we're talking about today.
No, that's not what we're talking about.
But we're not going to say that. We're going to say when a woman wants to go to a men's gay bar, are we... you know, why are we not as welcome as in another bar?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a reason behind that?
We have a great comment here. Kayla in Toronto reached out to us and wanted to share a story with us. And I think for the listeners, this is quite it's not graphic, but it certainly really illustrates the point well. Kayla said that my friend and I visited the Black Eagle in Toronto. We're going to name and shame a little bit here. The Black Eagle in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
My friends made me wait outside.
Mm-hmm.
As he said, he had to make sure I was allowed inside. We're talking this decade.
Mm-hmm.
After being made to wait outside, I was told I could come in. When I went inside, I was stared at by both the staff and the customers. One bar told me, "Don't worry, hun, you're allowed in here today." In another part of the bar, I was stared at by customers as they all got up and moved to another part of the bar. Despite being allowed in, there were parts of the bar where, as a woman, I was not allowed to be, and I was made to feel extremely uncomfortable and unwelcome. Mm-hmm. Now, for folks who may not know the Black Eagle in Toronto...
It's a pretty leather bar. Though.
Yeah, it's... So, the Black Eagle's not a very good example. If this had happened somewhere at, like... If it had happened at, like, Fly or Babylon or
Babylon, but you know what? So as a woman, when I go into a men's club, personally, yeah. maybe because I'm 50 years old now, okay? So, I recognize that maybe wanting to or having been included in a group mm-hmm. is not the same as maybe being included and having sex with the group.
Yeah.
Okay, so if my sexual orientation was a gay man, then I'm sure I would be welcome into that room,
yeah.
right? So I personally don't try to take it to heart that way so much, but I do recognize that regardless of gay or not gay, I do believe that that the misogyny doesn't come so much from being a gay man or any, I think it comes from being any man growing up yeah. in the social and environmental conditions that, say, we grew up in Canada, rural Canada,
yeah.
urban Canada, but that's probably a little different mm-hmm. situation than misogyny in, like, Israel or mm-hmm. In Lebanon or in other countries, maybe, you know, I don't want to get off topic like that and I don't want to shoot that way, but I'm just saying, you know, where we grow up, we are kind of blessed with being a little further ahead.
Yeah.
But I would disagree that there are some examples where maybe we're not as far ahead as we'd like to think. Somebody told us that they went to a bar and they said, sorry, there's a no fish policy today.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I've been there too.
Whoa.
To be clear about the Black Eagle, the Black Eagle is one of the few places, actually, I think it's probably the only place that I know of that I actually would defend. Because it's billed as being a men's bar. They have nudity nights, they have kink nights, they have a sex dungeon in the basement. Mm-hmm. And this goes into a discussion as to whether or not men also deserve a space, because there are spaces that only women are allowed into and men are not.
And that's not necessarily misogyny. That's more, you know, necessarily wanting to have sex with people you want to have sex with. That's
yeah, right. deserving to have a space.
Lesbian bar, we don't
if
really
this had happened in another gay bar, like if this had happened at the Centretown Pub in here in Ottawa, I agree. I would have been very upset by this. But also, like, you know, going in to double check whether or not she was allowed in. If it was a Tuesday night, they're probably not going to be having a kink night or a leather night. And is it a night off? Yes, it is. Okay. It is a night that is mixed. You can come in. There are nights where you're not allowed in if you're not dressed in leather. So, I mean, like, they have
a
door policy.
What if you're identifying as femme that night and you're a cross-dresser that night? How is that? Is that got any sort of different kind of approach when you go into a men's
I don't know,
bar,
but
right?
we're talking about misogyny
right
now.
Right.
So let me tell you about some of the experiences that I had when I was a bartender. Mm-hmm. Most nights, it was a non-issue. Something that I noticed very quickly is that most of the gay men weren't that bad. Most of the gay men were actually very friendly and welcoming. There was a few guys who are misogynist, mm-hmm. and they were very misogynist, mm-hmm. and they made up for everyone mm-hmm. else. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just the extremity of the experience where, like, you experience really horrible things from a half dozen people that is just very easy to project onto the whole crowd.
Absolutely.
Now, if nobody steps in to help those people, then you kind of are guilty by association mm-hmm. of just sitting there and witnessing it and doing nothing. That whole, like, you know... Mm-hmm. evil happens when good people do nothing kind of a situation. But generally speaking, I would say that there was a lot of that. Another thing that I noticed as well very quickly was that thing that clueless guys do sometimes where they're trying to be friendly and welcoming, but they do it by being inappropriate. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to be they don't understand how to reclaim a space. Like, they're trying to reclaim a space by making inappropriate jokes in a way that's supposed to be like, haha, it's funny. It's like if you're in a bar and it's all white people and a black person comes in and you start making watermelon jokes because you want to, like, make...
Normalize everything.
And you're like,
now it's getting more awkward because
you're
trying to normalize
it wrong.
Things.
Yeah.
Now it's really getting...
So I have seen a lot of situations where a woman is there and people do start making fish jokes mm-hmm. as a way of trying to welcome them
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually just like... It's really
derogatory.
It's antisocial behavior. They're they have good intentions. They're just really, really clueless. And the fact that they've never taken the time to say, like, you appear to be offended. What could I do instead to actually make you feel welcome? That's a part of it as well. The, I mean, that also goes back to patriarchal structures.
Would you also say that the way somebody was brought up, though, if they had sisters, they have a good relationship with their mother, I don't, whether they're a male that's gay or not gay.
I think the spaces have an effect, though. I think, you know, when you're in that space.
Oh, definitely, there's a space. When I walk in, and I will even say this good old Centertown pub, there's times I've gone in there, and, you know, like, I know everybody's polite, but, you know, underneath it all, they're kind of quietly, I think, go, would you girls just go home or go to the lookout, will you, or something, you know, which, you know, I get.
Kind of pushing towards the door.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk a bit about how some gay men, not all gay men, some gay men prove they're gay men by, you know, emphasizing how disgusted they are by vaginas. And we're going to talk about genitalophobia and how misogyny translates to trans men just after our first song. Now, Sebastian, you chose some great songs for today. So what was the first one we had?
Well, yeah, so because we're talking about misogyny, something that I decided to do, and also we're a Canadian show, we're trying to bump up our Canadian content whenever possible. I chose pop songs that charted. And they did make it to the Canadian dance charts back when we had Canadian dance charts, which we don't anymore. We do chart our music, but we don't.
My generation, you mean?
Yeah, well, yeah, basically, yeah. Some of these songs came out when I was, like, in primary school. So the first song that we're going to play is Echo Beach by Martha and the Muffins, which back in the day was a huge hit, and you could not escape it. But what's happened to it? It's been completely forgotten.
Yeah.
It's not played on soundtracks.
Damn, I can sing it in my head right now. Thanks a lot, Sebastian.
Here's the problem. Whenever I bike home along the canal, there's a street called Echo Street, and every time I pass it, I start singing
the thread.
The
and
hook.
It just goes over and you're looping.
So I can't.
Echo Beach, far away inside. Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, I can't go down the canal without singing that song. So first song, Echo Beach.
Awesome.
And we'll be back just after this.
Thank you.
and welcome back to Can Queer, bringing you jailbirdy stories from across the country. Today, we are talking about misogyny, but before we jump back into it, we're going to be getting into gynophobia. I think that's the right way.
Did you say gangophobia?
Gynophobia?
Like fear of the vagina?
Yeah. But before we get into that, if you have a chance, check out our website, www.canqueer.news. That's CANQUER.news. And then you can actually go and look under our community radio. There's a great show put out by the radio station in Edmonton looking at Francophone expressions of gender identity. Well worth the look. It's great. Also, we've got some news stories there about OutTV and some great news there as well. And also the Clover gender and how that's being used to undermine the trans community. Lots of really interesting news. Find out more, www.canqueer.news. It's all there. Check it out. But
yeah, the two of us are looking at each other like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but I want to read this now.
You want to find out what I'm talking about?
I need to know.
This is one of those things you did at midnight, and then the next day I Clover left, and I'm like, what Clover is what? Going
Clover gender. Okay, I'll go into it a little bit.
All I know is Clover clamps.
Yeah. I'll go into it a little bit. So everyone's favorite farmer bro, Martin Shkreli, whatever his name is. The guy who bought HIV meds and jacked it by 300%.
Yeah, farmer bro. Okay,
that
yeah.
guy, farmer bro. He's invented a...
Phew, I thought it was like farmer bro. I was like, no, we're not talking about this. No, no, no.
So this guy invented the agenda, the gender identity of Clover gender, and it's for men who are actually boys stuck in men's bodies who are attracted to pubescent boys and girls. It's essentially a fake gender identity. That's pedophilic. Yeah. Absolutely.
Pretty horrific if that's something you have to...
But this is a topic for another episode.
Yeah, it's invented for the sole purpose of making fun of trans folks. But you're absolutely right. Topic for another show. You want to find out more? www.canqueer.news. It's posted there. And some other great Canadian stories. Farmer is not Canadian, but whatever. Now, speaking to what we are actually talking about.
Yeah, you're going to read a quote.
We were going to read a quote. We have a good friend who was invited to the show today, but couldn't make it, but was able to pass along the following. So since I'm not able to make it to the recording, here's an example I have not really seen touched on in the conversation we were having. Gynophobic comments, by which she means insulting language towards vaginas. She was asked by gay men if they feel like the inside of a pumpkin, weird, but there we go, and she had one gentleman refer to them as axe wounds, which is quite deplorable language. But these problems are not just, misogynistic, they're also cis-normative. They assume that all women have the same vaginas. And it kind of makes fun, some women make fun of penises, but it happens a lot. You know, I am so gay, I wouldn't know what to do with the bottom half of a woman. Yeah. You know, these comments come up as if in order to prove how gay you are, you have to undermine women's genders, women's genitalia. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that something that you've seen?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot, actually. Sure. That's where I do see it, and it comes across as jokes. Oh, girlfriend, blah, 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 you know, if you ever talk in front of your gay men friends and you're like, oh, fuck, I got my period. And they're like, many of them.
When I worked in the bar, and since then, since I've gone to the bar, the number of times where I hear gay men say, I don't trust something that bleeds for 7 days and doesn't die. First of all, it's an old joke. I've heard it 1,000 times. It's crass. He's laughing. You've never heard that before? It's like...
It's so
the
bad.
Most tired
it's
old
just, it's just
joke.
So much like really
it is oh, yeah really? I mean when I was 12 and I heard it for the first time I was like ha 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 ha, but like that was a long time ago. And come on, I mean, if you're gonna be insulting, at least be original. Like, have you ever heard somebody say something so insulting you had to laugh because it was like, at least it was creative, and you're like, you know what, I'm gonna give you that one. But this is not one of those cases. A lot of it is just repeating the same jokes you've heard
it's just repeating what your grandfather and your grandfather's grandfather. That's where I'm seeing is, you know what, like education and being, you know, exposed to a gay community per se. Yeah. I mean, my parents are in their 80s. Okay, they still refer to my daughters. Well, is she gonna go through that stage? Is she still with a woman? Yes, mom, she's married to a woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
The opposite of this.
But it's just there's the okay. So there's where
do you remember Kids in the Hall?
Mm-hmm, of course.
David Foley, one of his various monologues, because every so often each of the cast members would do a monologue on stage to the to the audience, really. And David Foley had a monologue that was, it was titled, "I Am a Man with a Positive Attitude Towards Menstruation." Do you remember that?
You know what? I don't think I've ever heard
it. It was about four minutes long.
I've heard so much of it. I was just wondering if I started listening to it. No, but yeah.
And it's fantastic. But, if it's not for you, that's fine, but you don't have to make a deal out of it.
Exactly. So
I think that was part of Chelsea's point as well.
Yeah.
And other people brought in this idea of the gay community self-policing our best standards, where in order to be the best gay, you have to be like the opposite
super
of
gay?
Straight. Which
so
is
yeah. super gay? So yeah. you can't be on a sliding scale of,
You can't be just a little gay. You have to be so gay that the idea of vaginas...
Of another hole just couldn't even...
Perish the thought, you know.
Just it's just another hole.
And that is misogyny. That is undermining women to kind of further your own point. Mm-hmm. And it's very
There's always
damaging.
Sort of an implication of vagina dentata.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar with that.
Yeah, but you know, like... Personally, again, I'm gonna jump ahead because I'm 50, and I don't have I didn't go to school for any politically correctness, right? Mm-hmm. So I do see a whole generation of people that make a big deal about their genitalia,
yeah.
And personally, I think they're going backwards.
Yeah,
we should be backing away from our genitalia. We don't meet somebody on the street and say, "Hi, who do you have sex with?"
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand this. To me, it's just like, I have a vagina, so luckily I can make life and I can have babies. And you have a penis, and luckily you could help me make life.
It's
right.
Really
but apart from that, it's like, whoa. Who cares?
So if you're free on Thursday, Sebastian wonders.
Sorry, I can't make babies anymore. Otherwise, of course, we could do that. But there's no other reason for it. So.
I'm fine, thank you. This is a very, very kind offer. My older brother, who is a straight man, mm-hmm. who also struggles with his Asperger's, mm-hmm. actually gets gender and sexuality better than most people I know.
Oh, I bet you he does.
And he's just like, you know, if they look like a dude, I call them him. If they look like a lady, I call them her. And if I don't know what they are, I ask. And if they get offended, I just say, well, if you're...
At least I cared to ask.
At least I cared to ask.
I just didn't make a crap shoot.
Now, one of the responses that I thought was really interesting.
Really uncomplicated as well.
It's pretty uncomplicated.
Really uncomplicated. He's like, you know, if you... Whatever you do in your own time, as long as you're not hurting anyone, I kind of don't care.
None of anyone's business.
And it's really strange how sometimes the like really like uncomplicated straight bros get it better.
Yeah.
Than even some of the activists in the queer community were like, well, you have to da-da-da-da-da. And my brother's like, I don't know, whatever.
You don't need to do that. You need to do what's right for you.
He said,
but at the same time.
You know, he said, call me him, even though he looks like a biological woman. I don't know. He said to call him him. So I don't know.
So I call him him.
I call him him. I don't want to.
Yep. So we had one person reach out to us and say that, you know, one of the issues is that androqueers, which is androgynous queer people.
Yeah.
I had to take a minute to figure that out myself, so don't worry about it. Are accused of wanting to be boys because of how they look. Now, this is somebody who may be an androqueer. So the idea that, you know, if you've got females or androgynous-looking women who kind of dress up androgynous or slightly masculine, they're like, oh, they just want to be boys. And that kind of speaks to a lot of the transphobia as well.
Well, what about a 40-some-year-old woman that walks into my store and buys a schoolgirl costume because she wants to go home and pretend she's a schoolgirl for her guy, and he's totally into that because he's, like, fantasizing about the first time and whatnot and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's not
I think that's
a different thing.
Yeah.
But it's not...
I think the difference here is that it's the agency.
Yeah.
That woman in her 40s buying a schoolgirl outfit wants to be perceived, at least by her...
Yes, but her partner might very much want to perceive her as...
But the idea is there's no agency in folks who, you know, dress just the way they dress, and then other ones like, oh, you're just a wannabe guy, you know, and it undermines them. It you know, makes
on
them
the other
less
side,
than.
Do you think there's a space in this conversation as well as the mask femme division and how... gay men who do not act like mask men are also treated? Like, do you feel that that fits into the conversation of misogyny as well? Because there's this idea that, like, if you're not a real man... So this is one of the things that kind of bothers me. The idea of calling a gay man who's obviously a gay man we'll just call them gay acting gay men, calling them femme or calling them feminine. I've always found that strange because gay acting gay men don't act like women. And women don't act like gay acting gay men. They're their own thing.
Absolutely.
It's like a new gender just for gay acting gay men. But the reason, I think the reason why they're called feminine is because of this whole misogyny and like patriarchal thing where you have like...
It's not as good maybe as they're being just a
sensitive.
Real man.
Yeah. They're just sensitive.
You have,
maybe they're not anything but really in touch with themselves.
You have men and they're up here. They control society.
Yes.
They own property. They have the right to
vote.
They've
got it all.
They have it all.
They have it all.
And if you're not that, then you're something else. You're lesser
than
them. Then
you're a female and you're just down here just enough. But and you everything, have everything to the same thing.
Exactly. And
everything
that
is less than being man. Yeah.
That's right.
Actually, Alex Beebe, who you know.
Is a regular listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
He told me recently he loves listening to our show when he goes jogging.
Oh. Yeah. So watch out for that post.
So we can laugh. Like, oh my God.
Anyway,
say that?
So Alex said that one of the issues he has is with internalized misogyny. So that's gay men who say, you know, I'm only into real men. You know, I'm not a bottom. I don't typically do gay things. Mm. No, I'm just a bro dude. And the fact that we recently saw in queer media the invention of bro sex.
Yeah.
Oh, bro friends, bromances. God. There's bromances all over the place.
But the issue here is why can't it just be a romance between friends? Why does bro sex have to have its own definition?
Probably because it's sexy, just like bisexual
it means
females
no.
to be sexy to me.
Bro sex is when two straight men have sex.
But then it's really like...
Well...
Yeah, but how straight are they? If they're having sex together, they're not that straight.
Well...
But it's what it does is it undermines the gay identity. What it's saying, what bro sex says to me as a gay man is that, you know, if as a man I have sex with another man, that's just gay. But as a straight man having sex with another man, that's different. That's better. That's not as bad as being gay.
I don't think that's...
I don't know. I feel like the idea of having a new term, it's insulting.
I think that we should have a no term for all of it, personally.
It's the no homo that happened a while ago, you know.
Well, no, this is
different.
It's the
idea of... So, but no, I think it relates back.
I know a lot of straight men or people that men that will identify as straight that after their 30s, they're into the world, they're identifying, they're opening their minds up and they recognize I'm only like so straight. Maybe with this person, just like I don't identify as lesbian. But if I have met somebody who I'm really attracted to, I don't care what gender they have. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I could be attracted to them. And is that gender fluid or is that just not anything? That's just I really like that person and I don't really have a closed mind on who we should have sex with. I've had sex with men that identify as gay men.
Mm-hmm.
How gay are they if we had sex together?
But I think the difference here is we already know most people understand that sexuality isn't you are a straight man, you are a gay man, and never the two shall meet. Mm-hmm. People get the idea that, you know, maybe that one time in band camp, you know, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But my issue here is that they're inventing a terminology because...
For something that's normal?
Isn't good enough. And the reason why I kind of go on this tangent is because the conversation around, you know, I'm only into real men... tops only, mask for mask. This undermines, this implies that being femme or being a bottom or being gay is less good than being a real butch, you know, heteronormative cisgendered man.
No, I get what
and
you're
that kind of escalates to the next level of bro sex, where we're both like bro dudes, we pump iron and, you know, no homo, but stick it in.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, like, I completely disagree with you.
See, I think that people... I will call them people, I'm going to call them artists, okay? Because I love artists. Artists to me are very open people often, and they don't see things in a box.
Mm.
Excuse the expression. So I would say there's less misogyny in that community, regardless of gender, than there would be in the gay male community. Or even against men in the lesbian community. Like there's everybody's in a pie and we all got these little slices and I'd like to see those slices kind of dissolve eventually, but you know, I see where you're coming from as yeah. as a gay man. What is yeah. that supposed to mean? But I.
But we're gonna make this conversation a bit more less bro duty in just after this, because we're gonna be talking about lesbian and femme misogyny, so misogyny in the lesbian and the femme mm-hmm. community, and also the intersection of race and misogyny or misogynoir. Mm-hmm. I'm talking a bit about that, and then wrapping it up by why do gay men assume they can touch ladies' bodies? It's an issue. It's really an issue. But before all of that, we're jumping to the next song. Sebastian, what do you have lined up?
The next song, another hit from the 80s. Can you guess what it is?
No.
It's Luba.
Ah! I saw Luba. And I saw Luba. That's all I need to say.
So we're going to Let It Go. Not
Frozen.
Not from the Disney
Let
thing.
It go.
No, none of that. This is an actual dance. And what's really strange is if you pay attention to the lyrics, it's actually an existentialist motivated song about feminism and how a woman chooses her identity and creates her own experiences.
Wow.
Yeah. It's really,
she was ahead of her time.
It's really surprising when you listen to it. It's
makes me think of like Bjork.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, she, she's, maybe.
Yeah, but Luba, well, she was.
Because Bjork does like cool. pop albums and like really artsy albums yeah. where like you need
Luba
to be
was
very...
like a little hardcore, and she was like, you know,
well, it's, Luba is more like the pop side of Bjork.
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Luba's Let It Go. It was 84.
She's not Rough Trade, but she's like 84. Oh.
Something like that?
I think I graduated from, I don't know, high school.
I don't know. It's very danceable. That's the point. And it's based out of Toronto. Great artist. Love her. She had a small comeback in the early 2000s. Mm-hmm. It was great.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry at Barrymore's.
And we'll be right back after that.
Let it free your body.
welcome back to Can Queer, home of the Canadian Queer News. We mentioned some a little earlier, www.canqueer.news for some of the latest news. What we try and highlight also for folks listening is not American news, because believe it or not, if you're actually trying to avoid Trump, which I think, Wanda, you were mentioning earlier, great place to go. We really focus on Canadian and international, not American news.
Maybe we'll have a whole lot more population soon, too. Can Queer Canada.
Everyone will be shipping up north.
Yes, indeed.
Anyway, so, Sebastian.
Yes.
I think he was trying to creep me out there, but are you ready for the conversation? We were talking today about misogyny in the gay community. Now, some folks have pointed out to misogynoir, and it reminded me of something you said. Actually, it was something that you said earlier, and you were kind of imitating a gay man.
When he said you, he was pointing at Wanda.
Yeah, Wanda.
For the audience.
And Alex Beebe, who we mentioned is a favorite listeners to us, was commenting on something that somebody else had commented and said, the propensity to say in the black male community that there is a strong black woman inside them when they have zero concept of the lived reality is a serious issue.
No kidding. There couldn't be that's a real insult. And then
when people are like, Beyonce is my spirit animal, and it's like,
shut up.
You're insulting the African American experience, female experience, and also
spirit animal.
Also, yeah, First Nations experience. So, like, it's. Stop it. You could say Beyonce is my totem.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But it goes even further than that, because also somebody else commented that it disgusts them when white guys get popular by imitating black female mannerisms, but then are nowhere to be seen when black women come under attack.
I know exactly.
I know who he is.
No, I know what he's referring to, because actually I spent New Year's with Alex Beebe, and so I know.
No, this wasn't Alex. This was somebody again.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we got a lot of feedback.
But this is actually, if it were Alex, I would know exactly what he's talking about. And it's actually Justin Timberlake. I was saying that I find Justin Timberlake to be disappointing and safe. His music is good, but it's safe and bland. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And he said that he lost all respect for Justin Timberlake when the Super Bowl thing happened. Because remember with the quote-unquote costume malfunction?
Right.
And JT was just like, well, I don't know what's going to happen. It's got nothing to do with me, man. I was just there. And he basically was just like, washed his hands, backed off, didn't say, you know what, she's a performer, you need to respect her. Didn't say she's promoted her sexuality through her music for like 20 years by now. So you should have gotten used to
big
it.
Deal. Yeah.
There's nothing harmful or scary or dangerous about a black woman's breast. Like, there's so many things he could have said, but instead he was just like, nope.
No, and I don't want to get into it.
He rode her sexuality to the top by becoming a Super Bowl halftime performer, which is incredibly coveted.
Yeah.
It's a very high-paying, high-exposure gig. And so he rode her sexuality to that position, and then the moment something went wrong, he just washed his hands.
Instead of stepping up and trying to smooth it over and...
It was very cowardly of him to have done that.
Good thought. I never really...
Now, we won't have time in this.
No, he's not a gay man.
No.
That we know of.
Well,
no.
Well, I mean,
there's a scale.
But we do know, we can recognize those behaviors and examples like that in the gay community. I've seen it many, many times where men will, white men will copy, you know, a lot of the behaviors, you know, of black women.
Yeah.
Especially the divas.
Yeah.
What's that? The girlfriend.
Yeah.
I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
Oh, there's a name for that. Okay. It'll come to me.
I can't.
This is another conversation that Alex and I have had, where a lot of the cultural appropriation of black men, gay men from black women, a lot of it is actually a conversation back and forth, because there's a lot of things that women and black women have also taken from the gay community, and some of it's a conversation, some of it is appropriation. But the thing is, like, if you are not a gay man in Detroit who takes part in the ball scene, then it is appropriation, because it is not your culture. Whereas if you are in some of these subcultural spaces, it is a conversation back and forth between the gay, black, and female identities.
Because they're together for a reason, right?
If you're a white kid from the suburbs of Toronto, then it's appropriation and it's offensive. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a lot of it is contextual, and some of it's a conversation. It's more gay culture taking from the black female identity than it is the other way around. But it is back
just,
and forth.
You just reminded me of a famous YouTuber who got famous because he was caught voguing behind a newscast. And it was like some white 14-year-old in California. And he was voguing. I mean, his voguing was like spot on. But that's not... That's not a white 14-year-old thing to do. You know what I mean? It's it was lifted right out of that, you know. And it is a conversation that we need to get into. Unfortunately, we don't have the time to get right into the intersection.
Yeah, so the whole thing about, like, just to sort of wrap up this topic is, I mean, everything, the whole thing today, a lot of what we're talking about, a lot of these issues, like women in gay bars and, like, whether or not a gay bar is a man's space, because men also deserve a space, but women also deserve a space and they don't have any spaces except for the gay. Like, a lot of the stuff, we're sort of very superficially getting into it. And some of this stuff is just highlighting the fact that these are conversations to be had. We don't have the time.
As a radio show. Go down many, many different channels. Because when we start to talk, I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking, well, in this situation, well, in that situation, well, in this. I mean, recognizing, are men still misogynist? I'm just going to say that apart from comments, how much is it still out there? Yeah.
And well, one of the things you wanted to bring up is female misogyny in the gay community.
Absolutely.
So Catherine Fisher, who actually is a radio broadcaster as well, a great woman, she had to say, yes, in many ways, in my experience as a lesbian, I agree that there are personal experiences of sexism and misogyny. Some of them have been mentioned already. And these are important, but even more critical, in her opinion, is how lesbians and women in general are taken less seriously when their voice concerns on issues are more easily dismissed. So, you know, in gay spaces, lesbians are kind of ignored. They're kind of, you'll need that token lesbian in the room, so you're getting the L and the GLBT, but it's not really there. Especially when, going back to her point, especially when these views and perspectives are at odds with powerful gay men. And I think that's quite accurate. We had another person, Jessica Bell, I'm going to throw this in quickly as well, commenting, if we're being realistic, there's a degree of misogyny just by every community. Perhaps, you know, that's not what was meant by the question. But there is trans misogyny in women groups and groups of women that slut shame other women. And I think those need to be addressed as well.
Oh, yes.
So I think they're really identifying the fact that lesbians and queer women just get blown over by a gay man, you know, they get sounded out. And in queer female spaces, Jess is really highlighting the fact that, you know, there's trans misogyny there.
Yeah.
You know, you're not a real woman. You're not woman enough to be in this space. And that goes back to genitalophobia, which you mentioned earlier at the top of the show.
Which is not what we're really discussing today, except it does...
It's all different facets.
Exactly, right?
Yeah. Something interesting that Chelsea said some time ago, I was asking her, I was trying to put together a show on homophobia in geek scenes, and I was trying to get a female perspective. And something she pointed out to me that kind of railroaded the whole thing, because I wanted to get female perspective, and she's like, you're not really going to, because one of the things is that she said it's incredibly rare that she experiences homophobia when she's in geek scenes, because... If someone can get past the fact that she's a woman in the geek scene,
they
don't care that she's a queer woman, that she experiences more misogyny when she goes to, like, board game conventions or geek fairs or
that's where the guy's going to be the stronger of the, right? So that comes back to the way we were brought up, right? From the very...
And it's also really strange that there's a lot of spaces where if someone is going to not be misogynistic and accept a woman in their space, they're probably also going to accept queer people in their space. And so in a strange way, misogyny kind of is a bigger issue than homophobia.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, there's more women in the world than queer people. And women have a much richer history of abuse and neglect and a whole bunch of horrible things.
Well, we are the weaker physically of the sex generally. Not that we can't take you on and stuff, but realistically, most women.
In this, if there was a 3-way, 5-way now, you would win. My money's on Wanda.
Well, you would definitely lose.
Thanks, Sam.
It's either just because I'm mean and I grab places I'm not supposed to in order to win. That's because I was brought up.
I feel like you would give me a withering look and
But interestingly, a lot of kung fu movies, the second or third best fighter in the movie is a woman who does Tai Chi. It's a trope. It is very common. It's in a lot of movies.
Another, see, third place again.
Just to throw that in the...
See?
I
know.
And third I can place. Never remember the school of martial arts that Bruce Lee uses. I can never remember the name, but
again,
it's actually...
Bruce Lee, not Brenda Lee.
The style that he uses is a woman's name. There was a woman who invented the style of martial arts that he does. And it was just like, it was just her martial art that she had invented in order to avoid an arranged wedding. That's the history of the martial art. That she just didn't like the guy. And they're like, well, political reasons. And she's like, tell you what, if I can take you in a fight,
I don't have to marry
her. But give me a year first. And
I don't blame her. I do it too. No way.
So one of the last things that we were going to talk about today is how men just feel entitled to touch bodies. And I think when this conversation started to pop up in the thread, when we're asking people about their input, one of the comments really highlights why we still need to work on misogyny in the gay community. So we'll start talking about why do gay men feel they're entitled, and then I'll end the show maybe on what this comment was, because I think it's a good way of closing in the show.
Yeah.
So Madeline commented, in my experience, I've been groped many a time by gay men in queer spaces. Mm-hmm. And then goes on to say that in explicitly female or lesbian spaces, you know, that's never happened.
Yeah.
You know, only when they're around gay men. Mm-hmm. So why is it that gay men feel that they can just go right in there and
grab if you're a listener and you've never witnessed this before, it's way more brazen. It's not like they sneak up behind you and touch your butt and you turn around and you don't know who did it.
They walk right up and put their hands over your boobs.
Hey girl,
hey girl, how's your titties today?
And they maintain eye contact. They look at you straight in the eye while they're grabbing you.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just, that's highly insulting, obviously.
Yeah.
And
I've seen it multiple times. I'm like,
how dare you? What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? You come up to me and, you know, I've had gay men come up and just grab me by the cheeks of the bum and give me a squeeze.
What?
And go, hey, you know, and they think that's funny, I guess. And I'm kind of like, you know, knowing where they come from.
Now, if it was somebody who was a chronic butt grabber, and if you knew this person, that they say hello to everybody by grabbing their butt.
That's right. And some of these people are kind of...
Would you be as insulted?
Kind of folks, so I just kind of went through you know. But at the same time, like, not in a bar.
Do they do that when they meet their lawyer?
Will you come up to your lawyer and cop a feel? Hi, how are you doing?
I know. Do they do that when they see other men, you know, walk up and just fondle a testicle? Like, it doesn't happen,
no.
You know?
No.
Well, in some cases, but it generally doesn't happen. But for some reason...
We're not talking about bathhouses here.
No, absolutely. Yeah. But for some reason, gay men feel entitled to women's bodies.
Because they say, well, I'm gay. What's the big deal? And it's like...
Oh, I don't get anything out of it. So it's not sexual.
Yeah, it's not sexual by me molesting your breasts because I am a homosexual.
Yeah.
And that, I think you've really hit the nail on the head, Sebastian, because that goes back to the earlier comment where we prove how gay we are by being like, you know, either terrified of vaginas or conversely so okay with molesting women and not getting aroused. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it's abhorrent.
Well,
I could just say I did end up in a hot tub one time. With a group of gay men. I was at a party.
Did you fall in?
It was a gay man's party, generally, but they let me come, right? I got an invitation for the party. And I was the only female there. And they were having a hot tub. And I was like, hey, I'm going to jump in too. Everybody cool with that? Yeah, sure. So I dropped my clothes and jumped into a hot tub. And all of a sudden, somebody's like, there's boobs in the tub. And I'm like, right?
There's already.
I was just joking. I just thought, oh, yeah. Well, and it was a little bit, you know,
Did they need to comment on your anatomy? Like, is that, you know?
I didn't say, oh my God, there's six sacks in the room in this tub. Can
you know
grab
what you should
you
have
all?
Done? You should have looked down and gone, oh my gosh, where'd they come from?
There's penises. Yeah. You know? So it was a little bit like, again, I'm 50 years old, so I've had to grow up recognizing that is part of my life.
Yeah.
Right? So with the newer generation, you guys certainly are...
Hopefully
if they had just said, we're not comfortable with you being in the hot tub, would that have been less offensive?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like you said, no, we don't want you in the hot tub. No, don't come in.
Yeah.
No, go have a drink. Why don't you make a martini, Wanda? And I would have been like, okay, I get it. No, I'll see
you. Yeah, for sure. Because no, you would recognize that it's a man's space. A whole bunch of men in a hot tub. You know, it's yeah.
Gay men in a hot tub.
But it was a crisp. It was just like a silk Christmas event, you know. Mm. I would have left. I know when my cue is to go.
Also related to the idea of men having possession over women's bodies by grabbing them, the whole idea of a gay man just walking straight up to a woman and being like, girl, let me tell you right now, your hair, your makeup, your clothes, where did you get those shoes? Don't wear those shoes.
Yeah, as if we're I mean, a lot of fashion designers are gay, but that doesn't mean that all gay men are fashion designers.
And it's also unwelcome, you know. And I've seen this happen as well, where a lot of gay men, and they do it less to other men than they do to women. It's like they're entitled or they're expected. Or, you know, my role as a gay man is to be a woman's
best friend. But don't you find that those are the men that generally seem to be very more on that flamboyant side of, you know,
it's acting a stereotype.
Yeah.
Now we're just about to run out of time, but one of the things I wanted to mention is somebody had commented exactly that, gay men assuming their possession of women's bodies, and somebody commented, and I won't say who, you know, I hear you, but you know, it happens to us too. It happens to gay men too. Yep. We get fondled, and that, although accurate in some queer spaces, gay spaces, misses the point.
Yeah.
The point here is that crazy disproportionately, gay men assume that they can just use women's bodies, maybe to prove that they're so gay, maybe not, we don't know. But missing that point, I think, is why we need to keep having this conversation.
We could have a conversation about how gay men are objectified by women, but that's a different topic.
Yeah. It is too. Yeah. It is too.
But it does happen, but it's a different conversation.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And it's inappropriate to take up the conversation talking about misogyny with like, oh my gosh, let's talk about misandry. Yeah. No, let's talk about what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we can't talk anymore about it because we've run out of time. Thank you, Wanda, for joining us. And you're always welcome on the show. And in any hot tubs that we have going.
Thank you. Thanks. I'll bring my ducky.
I wouldn't get into a hot tub because I think the water's gross.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Most of the time, you're right. That's why I go to the Nordique. I don't think it's pretty public.
When I was in Japan, I went to onsen. But you have to. It's clean, clear, unfiltered water, no chlorine, no nothing. But you also wash before you get in.
Right. So you know. As long as we're all.
Anyways, that's all for now. Right. See you next week.
Oh wait, the last song. I have to introduce it.
Yeah, sorry, I got carried away.
The last song was not a chart topper, but it is an artist that we've forgotten made music, and that's Sookyun Lee. Before she was a VJ on Much Music, and before she made movies, and before she is a political commentator on the, now she's on the CBC as a radio host. She was a musician in the early 90s. And so we're going to go, this is the song Beautiful off her second album. It wasn't a chart topper, but it was just really charming. And I thought, let's play something that's charming.
So thank you, Wanda. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you, Luke. Thank you, Sebastian. Yes. It's always great to talk with you guys.
And thank you, listeners, for listening to us. And I'm just going to say listening one more time because I just said listen one time too many.
Okay.
Listen.
Bye.
It's a beautiful day today. Woke up this morning with sunshine on my face. And since the storm clouds have lifted, I keep drifting back to you. Yeah, you and you alone have the power to redeem me. I was lost and I'm still lost, but I can't deny the feeling. It'll be okay, my friend, my brother, till the end, it'll be okay. It's a beautiful day today. You always say you shouldn't be here. Your brush with death was far too near, dear. And it left you looking pretty in an ugly sort of way. And all that can go wrong, never pinned you to the ground. You cheated death, broke every bone. Now your body's on the mend. And I can't wait to see you again.
have the power to redeem me. I was lost and I'm still lost, but I can't deny the feeling. It'll be okay, my friend, my lover, to the end. It'll be okay.